Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this ninth day of April, 2020, and I'm thrilled to have return as my guest today, a very dear friend for many years, going back to the late 1980s, when I was still whipped behind the ears from my baptism as a very brand new Christian, Bill Shishko, who is the pastor of The Haven in Deer Park, Long Island, New York. That is a congregation in the denomination known as the OPC, and more specifically, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. And today we are going to be addressing ministry in a post-COVID world. Are we ever going to have a post-COVID world? Welcome back, my dear friend, Pastor Bill Shishko.
That really is a good question, Chris, because in a sense it's inaccurate. Until a vaccination can come for COVID-19, which I think they're thinking now maybe September of 2021, we're all going to be prone to get it if we haven't had it and built up the antibodies. The issue is really more the hospitals not being glutted with patients as they have been recently. But good point. But let's think about it in practical terms. Once this period of isolation is done, then what's ministry going to look like?
And for those of our listeners who may be joining us for the first time and have never heard you before on the show, or maybe they've never heard of your show, which is currently on hiatus, a visit to the pastor's study, perhaps we could have you give, again, a brief summary description of The Haven.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to talk about The Haven. I wish you could meet publicly. Well, after 35 years of ministry at the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Franklin Square, during which time you and I met, I had a little period, a few years, where I was what was called a regional home missionary, working with Orthodox Presbyterian churches in Connecticut and southern New York. I always hankered to be back in the pastorate, though, and at the urging of the men who were overseeing my work, I was urged to start a church plant, which we were familiar with from what we had done in Franklin Square. And as a result of lots of work with a number of families, in April of 2019, we began public worship for The Haven Mission Church, and we used Psalm 107, verse 30, the Lord brings us into his desired haven from the storms of life. So we are delighted to be ministering to all kinds of people, not least to those with substance addictions and homeless people and others, and ministering to them about the Lord Jesus as the halfway haven on the way to heaven.
Great. Well, I want our listeners to know that that website for The Haven is thehavenli, standing for Long Island, .com. Thehavenli.com. Let me also give you the website for the Orthodox Presbyterian denomination, because you can perhaps, if you don't have a church home, find a church near where you live anywhere in the world at opc.org, opc.org. And before I forget, I just want to let you know that my dear friend, Jeff Thomas, wanted to send to you his warm greetings. He was on the show twice last week, and he's going to be on twice again in 2 weeks. He's going to be on from Monday the 20th through Tuesday the 21st of April. And I am just so thrilled that he loves doing this program.
Yeah. We're cut out of the same cloth. A little different denomination, but also you had my dear friend Joe Moorcraft on.
Oh, yes. He also sends his greetings.
Yeah, it's like old home week working through Iron Sharpens Iron.
Yes, and Joe's coming back on Tuesday, the 5th of May.
Great. Excellent. Good, good, good.
Well, let's start with this ministry in a post-COVID world. I guess a lot of this, or at least some of it, is going to be assessments from knowledge of your work that you've been involved in for decades in ministry, because some of this is a mystery that we see ahead of us, or that we envision, I should say, ahead of us.
Yeah, well, let me take a few minutes, Chris, and just give a couple of reflections on the pandemic. There's many that I could make. These are the ones that really stand out in my mind. Just in general, we all have to keep in mind it's very, very difficult to assess something accurately when you're right in the middle of it, and especially for Reformed people, which is a lot of your audience and certainly the thrust of your program. We're bent on bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, but we've been broadsided by COVID-19, as everybody else has, and it's a little bit like being in a car accident or an earthquake. You go through a shock period, and then there's a disorganization period, what's happened, and then there's a reorganization period. I think we're not really yet at the reorganization period, but I'm hoping I can offer some thoughts on that. But anyway, you have to have a framework. What do we see in the scriptures that would give us a pointer to how we look at this? And I've constantly, Chris, gone back to 1 Corinthians 7:26. Paul, and it's an enigmatic text. Paul simply speaks of due to the present distress, and people have wondered what that is. Is it a plague? Was it a famine? Was it persecution? And we don't know, and we're not intended to know. The Holy Spirit intended we not know it, because you can import a lot into that. This is a period of present distress. Then it was Paul saying maybe we ought to consider that the ordinary social pattern of marriage should be something we think about for the present distress, because it would make it difficult to fulfill the duties of marriage in it. I think an analogy would be a couple wondering whether they should get married if the husband's going to be shipped overseas to do tour of duty overseas. Well, this is a present distress. There's a suspension of the ordinary social patterns, and we're in the middle of extraordinary patterns, both in church life and social life. So I think that may be helpful for your audience. But anyway, this would be the first of my reflections on the pandemic. One is this quote unquote virtual worship phenomenon. I'm getting sick and tired of the term virtual for
me too.
I really am. I mean, virtual, the word virtual means something that is not real. I'm going to deal with that maybe more a little bit later. Let me get into that a bit later. But this virtual worship phenomenon is really not new. Back in the 1990s, you had the beginning of cyber churches, and evangelicals were appalled at the very idea that church could be something you did in a building in front of a camera with sophisticated acoustical equipment where people listened at home like an audience to The Tonight Show. But now you see what's happened in the present distress. I get it. I understand it. People want to still minister to their flocks. They want to have some semblance of having a corporate gathering, but they get on the bandwagon of this quote-unquote virtual public worship. And again, I want to deal with this more at length, as you and I discussed. I want to do a whole show on this with my dear brother Greg Reynolds, Dr. Gregory Reynolds, because this is important. But people need to realize that the medium always affects the message. This is not corporate public worship, period. It may be an augment to family worship, that I can see. A minister leading the heads of households and families that are there, talking with them, ministering to them, so that they can be worshiping in the home. That's the model that we've followed. But that is not corporate. This is not corporate public worship. And the point to make is we are not disembodied spirits. Worship is more than, it is far more than communication of information. That the term that's been used is cyber Gnosticism. Gnosticism is the idea that the only thing really important is the head and what we understand and what we know. And if you can communicate information and people get it, that they're in the spiritual, spiritually accepted. And cyber Gnosticism feeds into this idea that the only thing that's really important is that people hear their minister or whatever. I don't want to overstate it, but it's close to it. And here's my fears with that, and I realize we've got time constraints here. For America, convenience is huge, and it's convenient for people to stay at home. I'm concerned that the discipline of corporate gathering is going to be breaking down. And then, for ministers, it's very easy to succumb to the intoxicating effects of visual media. I'm on television, I'm on Facebook, I'm on YouTube, or I am whatever it is. I'm not judging motives.
Right. James Montgomery Boyce, as you may remember, was very leery about visual media, which is why he much preferred radio and audio when he was doing the Bible study hour and other things.
Exactly. That's also true of Dr. Joel Niederhood and the Back to God Hour and the outstanding study that he led for the Christian Reformed churches maybe 30 years ago, 40 years ago, when they ditched doing a television program, when they realized that the visual alters the message. And Chris, I am afraid that ministers have jumped into a swamp with this and not really thought through what that means. And you have the similar thing. I mean, it would, when emails became popular, well, ministers thought they could do their work by emails, and they would send emails to people and so on. And there's a place for that. Then there was texting. Well, there's a place for that. There is no substitute, as we'll deal with this afternoon, for person-to-person contact. And Chris, throughout the program, I am going to mention some books, most of which would be available, I would think, through Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, that is one of your sponsors.
Yeah.
And is an excellent book service.
Yeah, cvbbs.com.
This one wouldn't be available, but the book by Sherry Turkle, who is a professor at Massachusetts Institute of Technology, haunting title, Alone Together, where she deals with, from a secular perspective, she deals with the effects of what really is isolation that comes when people are not together.
Wow.
It is an absolutely riveting book full of anecdotes, but I mean, it's a technical study. But the title says it all, Alone Together, and it brings very pernicious effects by the way of depression, anxiety, and suicide. We're seeing this with the COVID-19 isolation. People, I mean, you have even secularists who are saying what the Word of God says, it's not good for a person to be alone. We need social contact. There is no substitute for it. And if churches fall into the trap, and it is that, of thinking that now in a post COVID world we can be doing all of our work by telecommunication, that is not only a massive mistake, it is a horrible, and I'll even go so far as to say it is a horrible anti-Christian error. But I'd rather deal with that. You want iron sharpens iron, brother. So that's going to hopefully do some sharpening of iron.
Well, we have a question, I think, that is great to start our discussion because it relates to what you just said in some very significant ways. We have, let's see here, RJ in White Plains, New York. And RJ says, is there not something supernatural going on when we physically gather together as saints for a corporate assembly where Christ is uniquely present amongst us?
Well, that's remarkable, Chris. That's the first time time I've ever heard a New Yorker actually ask a question. Normally, when you want a question, they give you a dissertation.
One of the reasons I prefer email questions than phone calls.
You're smart. RJ, spot on. Absolutely. Where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst of them, and I'll use this word, although I don't want people to misunderstand it. There is an existential element in preaching, not the way the error of neo-orthodoxy teaches that somehow God works through an imperfect word to do whatever he's supposed to do, impressing certain things on our spirit. I don't mean that. But there is something in the moment when a minister, a pastor called to deal with a particular flock is dealing with that particular flock and visitors that are present when they're called to worship, whether it be the Lord's Day or whatever other day, there is something that happens in the moment at that time that you can't replace with sermonaudio.com and you can't duplicate it via Facebook. So RJ is spot on. Paul, when he says in 1 Corinthians 14, you're gathered together, and an unbeliever or an ignorant one comes into your midst, and he has the thoughts of his hearts exposed, and he falls down on his face and confesses, God is with you of a truth. Whatever else is being said in there, there is a dynamic in a body of God's people gathered together, hearing the word of God, that does something that a mere communication of information through a microphone does not.
In fact, let me just take one more question because it also relates to things that you're saying right now. Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, says, I am getting sick and tired of hearing Matthew 18, verse 20, for reasons that it was not intended. People are using it as an excuse not to gather because they say, hey, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am in their midst. So therefore, we don't have to go to the larger assembly. We could be at home with a couple of other Christians.
Yeah, I really appreciate the question and say amen. The actual context of that is church discipline. And it's something we've experienced over the years when we're wrestling with very difficult disciplinary issues and gut-wrenching things, and you sense the Lord's presence as we're gathered in his name, trying to know how to deal with a soul. And that is the context. But the truth is there. The name was Mary Margaret. Was that the name?
Susan Margaret.
Susan Margaret. Yeah, she's absolutely right. There's so many things. We'll deal with it more later. But you rejoice with those who rejoice. You weep with those who weep. The concept of a body. You don't have a body if you have a hand in one room and you got toes in another and you've got feet in another. It's ridiculous. He assumes a body even when he says, I mean, just think of this in the New Testament. He talks about the church as an army where he says that the Lord shall soon crush Satan under your feet. He's dealing with the church. But yeah, and that is missed. Very much by American individualism too, and plus an if I can use the word, an interiorizing of religion. What's most important is that Jesus is at work in me. Well, I'm glad Jesus is at work in you. Jesus is at work in a body as well. So okay, but that's that. But good point that she makes.
Okay, well, let's continue on with your perspective.
Right. Yeah. So I'm dealing. These are just a couple reflections. One is this virtual worship phenomenon. The second, I want to guard my words carefully. I'm concerned as a minister about government overreach. COVID-19 really has made us a whole lot more aware of our civic responsibility, and I get that. We shouldn't be sneezing in other people's faces, and if we're ill, we really ought to be self-quarantined. And frankly, if you have to have advertisements in the United States of America telling you to wash your hands a lot, we're really in bad shape. So I get all of this, but I also get the fact that it is legitimate in its place for the state, the government, to say that for a time, churches ought not gather for worship. And I have a very dear elder friend of mine, a man that I worked with for many years, who was wrestling with this in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, of which he's a part. and one of the elders in that church brought these fascinating quotations to him from Richard Baxter's Practical Works, A Christian Directory. Richard Baxter was a Puritan pastor from 1615 to 1691. Interesting, he was in England, and that was, he ministered during the time the bubonic plague ravaged London in 1655 and 1656. Anyway, his Christian Directory, he answers questions. And one of them is, may we omit church assemblies on the Lord's Day if the magistrate forbid them? And Baxter, the pastor's answer was, it's one thing to forbid them for a time upon some special cause, as infection by pestilence,
wow,
fire, war, etc. See how contemporary. So don't poo-poo the past. And another to forbid them statedly or profanely, in other words, just to forbid them, period. He also says it's one thing to omit church assemblies for a time and another to do it ordinarily. He says, and there's a lot more in it, but I've culled some things. If the magistrate, which would be the governor or the president, for a greater good, as the common safety, forbid church assemblies in a time of pestilence, assault of enemies, or fire, or the like necessity, it is a duty to obey them. Because positive duties, which is a specific law, give place to those great natural duties, which are their end. And an example, you have a house with a no trespassing sign on it. They would have a swimming pool, they should have a fence around it, but let's say they didn't. You see a child drowning in that pool. Yes, there's a property right. That's a positive right. But there is a natural duty, as he would put it, in which you go and you rescue that child. And that's the analogy that he uses. He says, now, if princes profanely forbid holy assemblies and public worship, either statedly or as a renunciation of Christ in our religion, it is not lawful formally to obey them. But it is lawfully prudently to do that secretly for the present necessity, which we cannot do publicly. So we're talking about maybe family worship or so on, instead of public worship, which we cannot do publicly, and to do that with smaller numbers, sounds like today, which we cannot do with greater assemblies, yea, and to omit some assemblies for a time, that we may have opportunity for more. That's so insightful. You do this, frankly, so that you don't decimate the church members by illnesses. I get that, and I think it's important for your listeners to realize it has been addressed in the past. But here's the thing. There's a real tendency to overreach. Mayor de Blasio in New York City saying bluntly, if I need to shut down churches and synagogues permanently, I will do it. Maybe he has at least apologized or asked forgiveness for that, as he's been asked to do by religious leaders, but I haven't heard it. That is positively scary, and here's the other one. There's been a debate in states about whether the work of the ministry or public worship is essential work. Now, that's an interesting distinction. Is it essential that we meet publicly as a church on the Lord's Day every Sunday? Well, I think Baxter addressed that. If there's a legitimate reason for the common good not to meet, then I don't believe it's necessary we do that. Okay, I think you can meet in smaller groups. But here, as I've wrestled with this, Chris, is where I draw the line. The work of the ministry is to prepare people to die, to be quite frank about it. We talk about telling people to come to Christ and praying that they be saved and discipling them. It's about preparing people to die. And in a culture that has become acutely sensitive to death, as our culture has, along with the medical work, which deals with the body, the most essential work is the work of ministers dealing with people who are afraid, who are anxious, and quite frankly, people who are out of Christ, are afraid of death, and need to hear the only antidote that's even better than a respirator. So hopefully that's a little bit helpful, and that's what I mean by overreach. I think to to see what's going to happen down the line. It's one thing when leaders for a time will use, we'll say, war powers, as President Trump has done. And the United States has accepted that. It's a total other thing to give up those powers that are being used. And I want to see what's going to happen there. Edmund Burke, who was a great exponent of freedom and of liberty, had said the true danger is when liberty is nibbled away for expedience, like COVID-19 and by parts. The true danger is when liberty is nibbled away for expedience and by parts. So those would be my two kind of big reflections right now as a minister in the midst of the pandemic.
We do have an anonymous listener. I'm not sure why they would be anonymous over this. But the question is, our catechism has something very important to say on the issues of national emergency. Question 72, what is the sixth commandment? The sixth commandment is, thou shalt not murder. Question 73, what is required in the sixth commandment? The sixth commandment requireth all lawful endeavors to preserve our own life and the life of others. Question 74, what is forbidden in the sixth commandment? The sixth commandment absolutely forbiddeth the taking away of our own life or the life of our neighbor unjustly or whatsoever tendeth thereunto. So I'm assuming that this is being put in relationship to the fact that we are perhaps going to infect someone resulting in their death or become infected ourselves resulting in our death by haphazardly or just not being extremely careful in our social communication and assembling and so on. But if you have any comment on that.
No, I agree. As an Orthodox Presbyterian minister, I love quoting the Catechism, and I thought of it myself, Chris. That's exactly right. You take all lawful attempts to preserve your own life and the life of your neighbor. My wife and I are taking a lawful attempt to preserve our own lives. We're staying inside. We're observing social distancing. We're washing our hands. We're careful when we shop. And I'll reflect on that a little bit in the second hour and how that really bears on how our disciplines have changed. And at the same time, you don't do on any occasion, you don't cough in somebody's face. I don't know if should be arrested for, but I can see the point. In New Jersey, there was a man, I think he coughed, had COVID-19. He coughed in the face of a police officer and he got fined. Well, that's legitimate. That's bringing harm on our neighbor. And becoming sensitive to those things we haven't thought about is one of the purposes in God bringing plagues like COVID-19.
We have time for one more question before our break, and this is from a mutual friend, James Brewer. I usually don't mention people's full names, but Jimmy in Deer Park, Long Island. And in fact, I have to enlarge his question because the font is microscopic in the email. And let me use this time to repeat our email address, chrisarnson@gmail.com, if you have a question as well. Pastor Shishko, with mandatory quarantine for much of our country, are you concerned that domestic and child abuse will be even more on the rise? And how can we as a church minister to that after police and CPS have been involved? And if you want, why don't you answer that when we come back?
I have that, Chris, in the second hour of the program. Once the break is done here, I really want to start getting into ministering in a post-COVID-19 world. But it's in the second hour that I have that. It's an
sure.
Excellent question, but it's part of a much bigger issue when it comes to ministry in a post-COVID-19 world.
Okay, Jimmy, you heard Pastor Bill, so please listen to the whole show so you can hear the answer to your question later on. And as I said before, if anybody else wants to join Jimmy with a question, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if the question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors. Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
The coronavirus pandemic has rapidly changed our way of life, bringing so many uncertainties. When will it end? Why do disasters like this happen? How do we deal with anxiety, fear, and the like? Well, join us each Friday on the program Iron Sharpens Iron, with your hosts, Chris Arnzen and Pastor Joe Jackowitz, as they explore God's Word for answers to this and other of life's related issues. Tune in at firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. That's Iron Sharpens Iron on firstloveradio.org. Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. To hear what the Bible has to say about pandemics and how we should respond.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours with a little less than 90 minutes to go is Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an OPC, or Orthodox Presbyterian Church congregation in Deer Park, Long Island, New York. And today we are discussing ministering in a post-COVID-19 world. And I know that you want to discuss changes come after every personal and national crisis.
Yeah. Well, Chris, as you alluded to in the earlier part, it's always dangerous when it comes to trying to predict the future. I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. That gift is completed with the completion of the scriptures. And predictions of the future are often, if not always, notoriously off. I think of the fascinating volumes by Alvin Toffler in the 20th century, 1970, his Future Shock, and then 1980, the Third Wave, which really were quite influential in people getting an idea of what would come with technology and so on. But while he had certainly pointers in the right direction, there were so many things that were dramatically different. It's almost kind of humorous in a sense to read them now. So I'm aware of that. On the other hand, I've been in the ministry now 39 and a half years, right here on the front of things in New York. And what we're seeing is essentially what happens when you have an earthquake. I'm going to use the phrase tectonic shift a little bit later, the shift in the plates of the earth. Well, when there's been an earthquake or a tectonic shift, which this is, you can see where certain changes are going to come, areas that become more prone to earthquakes, some that might become a bit stronger. And that's sort of what I'm doing here in this material on ministry in a post-COVID-19 world. So yeah, as you said, changes come after every personal or national crisis. There's your tectonic shifts in the plates of our social life. Israel is in exile, and for 70 years, and then it comes back after the exile. Well, it's the same Israel, same ordinances, but they work themselves out differently in that post-exilic situation. The church is in Jerusalem, and the honeymoon period following the giving of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and then the church is ejected from, after Stephen is persecuted, they're ejected, and they go into the world, and it's still Christianity, but it affected the way the Lord's people were meant to intersect with the world and deal with it. So, I mean, those are biblical illustrations. The Depression that began in 1929 radically affected our culture. World War II did, which I think may be the closest analogy to the pandemic. I wasn't alive then, but from what I've read, I mean, it's a war and the wartime economy. 9/11 is similar, but as many people have commented, you mentioned World Magazine, and I appreciate your promoting that outstanding publication, everything they do, but Joel Bells had a recent column where he mentioned what I've heard too, people who were alive in World War II or the Korean War, even some that are old enough, they remember the Depression, they'll all say this is different. And why is it different? Number one, you can't get over the fact that the mass media is a huge driver in this whole matter of the pandemic. Certainly we're dealing with a virus that's serious, it's highly infectious for people with previously existing conditions, and it's much more medically intensive. Again, we get that. But the way this has been blown up in the media so that it's the only thing that people are talking about is something vastly different than the past. The other, and frankly, I find this ominous. The depression was the stock market. The depression came because the stock market crashed. Here, the stock market crashed because the government said you can't work, and that makes it different. And the other is, unlike 9/11, this is protracted, as not as long as World War II, but it is protracted, and habits. Really only people's habits in the United States really didn't change after September 11th. The airlines changed, and our habits there were made to change, but we didn't change. It takes a couple of months of an enforced, unusual situation and for people to change their lifestyles. You find out you have terminal cancer or you have some kind of cancer and you have to change your diet, your exercise pattern. Well, it takes a while to do it. Anyway, those kinds of changes come, and this is different largely because it's more protracted. And here I think the text in the Old Testament, the sons of Issachar understood their times, what Israel ought to do. Chris, what have I got, about 8 minutes left before your break with the long commercial?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, great. Let me dilate a bit on this that clearly is something that, as a media guy, very much exercises me, specifically ministering in a post-COVID-19 world. We've got to wisely use telecommunications and social media, not against these. In fact, frankly, I'm thankful to be learning some new things about teleconferencing myself. But different media are used for different things. If a military man is killed in action, the military does not text the mother and father that their son or daughter was killed. You go to the home and you communicate that to them. And in ministry, we need to be very, very much aware of the formal term is how the medium affects the message. Virtual is not a substitute for the real. In fact, virtual worship isn't even virtual worship. I think of your question from the last portion. Virtual means, here's a dictionary definition, being in essence or effect, not in fact, not actual, but equivalent so far as effect is concerned. Virtual worship isn't even virtual worship because that dynamic of what happens when God's people are gathered together is missed. Now, yes, there are things that we can do. Certain meetings can be done. Go to meeting.com or Zoom can use it. Certain studies you can do. Certain discipling. Today I had a phone call with somebody, couldn't get together with him. We had an hour discipling meeting on the phone and some counseling. Just more efficient use of time. Okay, great. Wonderful. Those, so long as you're not radically affecting how you're doing what you're doing, great. But the Christian faith and Christian ministry are a religion of incarnation. We're not Gnostics. We're not Gnostics. We don't believe it's just a matter of imparting knowledge. We're not Docetists. Docetism in the early church was the idea that anything that was physical was detracted from the Christian faith. Well, In the scriptures teach that for so many things there must be physical presence. As I mentioned, rejoice with those who rejoice. Now, you can send a card to do that. There's nothing like being at a wedding or being at a baptism or being at a birthday celebration, for that matter. Weep with those who weep. You can't the idea that you would be virtually present at a funeral. I'm not questioning people's motives in all of this. That's a travesty. You're supposed to be there with people and literally weep with them and hold them, and that physical presence is so important. And see, to deny that is docetistic. In other words, it's the physical's not really that important. Or it's Gnostic. At least they knew I was there. Just some other men, and then you probably got some questions of your own. Paul, he says, I long to be with you, that I might impart some spiritual gift to you. And I don't know how he did it there. Today it would become, as we'll deal with a little bit later, by way of the context of ministering to people about the use of their gifts. But he why didn't he write them about that? These were individuals, and he wanted to be with them. I write you with pen and ink, but I would much rather come to you and minister to you face to face. In the assembly, and this, Chris, give you a little window on the haven. We love our amens. We love our hallelujahs because the Bible says where to say that. It encourages one another. It's painful to amen when you're muted on a go-to-meeting. It's not the same. Greet the brethren with a holy kiss. Now we're being told maybe we should never shake hands again. Well, there's a biblical injunction to do that. Why? We're family. We're a family of people. And you know, a cyber hug is not the same as that. Or even within our worship, baptism and the Lord's Supper. These are physical things. The book Truth We Can Touch by Tim Chester is excellent in that regard. People, you see someone baptized, they feel water on them, they hear the rejoicing of God's people as they're marked out as the Lord's people, and as their baptism is celebrated as it should be. And the Lord's Supper, Chris, when I read the other day, I won't mention the denomination, talking about virtual Lord's Supper, it popped my cork. How do you have a virtual giving of a breaking of bread and giving of wine in a context in which Paul says, when you are gathered together as a church, not as a small group, but as a body of people, even you can make the case discerning the body is not just the body of Christ, the body of Christ, God incarnate, but it's the body called the church. And we need to be with one another. We need to welcome one another. We need to ask forgiveness of one another. You see, and I mean, these are so basic, but we've got to wisely use telecommunications and social media. So that's incarnation. Paul, and then I'll quit. When one of my favorite texts, 1 Thessalonians 1:5, my word did not come to you in word only, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And he's not mystical about this. He says, just as, and here the New American Standard's got it much better than the ESV. I'm pushing the NASB for you. Just as you knew what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And the reason I said what I said in the previous part, ministry that vacates the public or the personal face-to-face ministry one to another or by a ministry to the people is at heart anti-Christian because Christ took flesh and dwelt among us, and we're meant to do that in the world. So that's why I speak so passionately about this topic. That is just part of it.
And by the way, you might be interested in this as well, Pastor Bill, but on Tuesday, May 12th, 4 to 6 p.m., as always, my friend Pastor Jeffrey D. Johnson of Grace Bible Church in Conway, Arkansas, who's also the founder of Free Grace Press, he's going to be discussing counterfeit communion.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
So mark your calendars, folks. We're going to our midway break right now. Please be patient with us. It's a longer than normal break because we have to have this break because our friends at Grace Life Radio, who air this program twice a day in morning drive and also in the evening, they are required by the FCC to have their own public service announcements and other things locally to Lake City, Florida, aired on the show to localize it to Great City, Florida. So therefore, while they air those messages, we air our own globally heard commercials, and we urge you to use this time wisely to write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them, which we count on you to do if you love the show and you want it to remain on the air. We need the advertising dollars from our sponsors to exist. So please try to patronize them as much as possible. And sometimes that may even mean that you're just writing them to thank them for sponsoring the show, especially if it's a church and it's so far away from you, you can't even visit it. Send them a letter or an email at least. Or give them a phone call and say, I really want to thank you for sponsoring Iron Sharpens and Iron Radio. But of course, if it's a business or something else, please try to patronize these sponsors as much as you can. But also, send us a question to Bill Shishko about ministry in a post-COVID-19 world. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be back after these messages. As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances? Then you'll want to check out Thrivent Financial. We're not your typical financial services provider. We're a not-for-profit Fortune 500 organization that helps our nearly 2.4 million members be wise with money. We provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. We help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivent story by contacting me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again,
717-254-6433. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. Lending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword.
Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White of the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Music.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
The coronavirus pandemic has rapidly changed our way of life, bringing so many uncertainties. When will it end? Why do disasters like this happen? How do we deal with anxiety, fear, and the like? Well, join us each Friday on the program Iron Sharpens Iron with your host Chris Arnzen and Pastor Joe Jackowitz as they explore God's Word for answers to this and other of life's related issues. Tune in at firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. That's Iron Sharpens Iron on firstloveradio.org. Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. To hear what the Bible has to say about pandemics and how we should respond.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, every time you purchase books from Solid Ground Christian Books, you are helping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to remain on the air, because they are a primary sponsor of this program. In fact, not only did Mike Gadosh, founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, pay his advertising bill this month, he added on an additional financial gift. So why not contact them, order some books, and thank him for not only sponsoring the show, but for the extra gift he sent, because it's urgently needed at this time. And there's all kinds of reasons for buying gifts coming up in the near future. There are wedding anniversaries. There are birthdays. There's Easter coming up. Well, that's this Sunday, so you might not have time to get something before Easter. But there are graduation gifts, going back to school gifts, all kinds of reasons to buy gifts. Whether the person you're buying that gift for is a Christian or somebody who does not know Christ, Solid Ground Christian Books is the perfect place to go anyway, because not only will you edify and educate and encourage a brother or sister in Christ with books from Solid Ground Christian Books, but you may also lead a lost person to Christ through the book that you send them. So remember, solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and always remember to tell them that you heard about Solid Ground Christian Books from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to Bill Shishko, on our theme today, Ministry in a Post-COVID-19 World. Just have a couple of brief announcements. As far as we know, we are still going to be conducting our next free spring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon on Friday, May 29th, right here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, for the very first time at the Bongiorno Conference Center in Carlisle. And for the very first time, we're also delighted, excited, thrilled to announce that we are going to be having, God willing, Dr. Conrad Mbewe as our speaker. Dr. Mbewe has been my friend since 1995, the church where I was a member before moving to Pennsylvania, Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, was the very first congregation where Dr. Conrad Mbewe preached in the United States during a visit here. And we have maintained a close friendship ever since. He is absolutely extraordinary. I urge you, if you are a man in ministry leadership, this is not for the ladies. This is for men in ministry leadership, whether you're a pastor, an elder, and I think those are the same office, by the way, a deacon, a parachurch leader, whatever kind of leadership position you have, if you're a man, please send me a registration at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. It's absolutely free of charge. Not only will you hear Dr. Mbewe preach for free and be fed a sumptuous meal by the Bongiorno Conference Center for free, but you'll be leaving with a very heavy sack of free, brand new books donated by major Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, which I've personally selected for the men attending. And that's all free. And this was a custom, a tradition, began by my precious late wife, Julie, who is now in eternity with Christ, back in the 1990s. We have been continuing these every year. And then when she went home to the Lord, I have relaunched these luncheons in Pennsylvania in 2015 in her honor, memory, and in tribute to her. But of course, first and foremost, as she would want it, in honor of Jesus Christ, our King. But if you would like to attend, please send me that email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. The luncheon, again, is on Friday, May 29th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. If you are pessimistic that this will occur because of the continued hysteria going on with the coronavirus, send me an email anyway, because this way I'll have your email address on a list to let you know what the date change is, if indeed there is going to be one. But as far as we know now, it's still Friday, May 29th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Finally, folks, if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing so, and there's also a mailing address where you can send in a check via snail mail if you prefer that, that will appear on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. And as I try to remember to remind you every single day, never, ever siphon money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your local church, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that. Never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio either, because those two things are commands of Scripture, providing for your church and providing for your family. Obviously, providing for my show is not a command of Scripture, but if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, and since you're not doing a lot of the things you used to love to do, perhaps every day or every week or a few times a month, you're not going to sporting events. You're not going to concerts. You're not going to the movies. You're not going to theatrical performances at playhouses. You're not having the luxury of fine dining. Well, can you use, please, some of that money that you've been saving to go to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? And again, I repeat, if you love the show and you don't want it to go away. And if you don't love the show, I'm not sure why you're listening now. So if you love the show, please help us before we disappear from the airways. chrisarnson@gmail.com is also my email address where you can ask any more questions about that. But the website, again, is ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. And last but not least, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, and you're not even prayerfully looking for one, you are living in rebellion against God. There is no such thing as a lone wolf, maverick Christian roaming around, either bouncing from church to church to church without ever joining any of them, or just staying home and not going to any church. These kinds of Christians do not exist in the New Testament, at least as a representative of Christians that are obedient to God. They don't. So please, if you need help finding a church, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have lists of biblically faithful churches everywhere on the planet, and I may be able to help you find one near you. I have helped many people find churches that they have visited, and some have joined those churches, and some of them have just visited them on vacation, and some of them have referred them to family, friends, and loved ones without a church home. So please, if you need help finding a church, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put, "I need a church," in the subject line. That is also the email address where you can send in a question for Bill Shishko. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. I forgot to mention also that if you want to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, you don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that's compatible with what I believe, then send me an email, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. And now we are back with the second half of our program today with Bill Shishko, pastor of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian congregation in Deer Park, Long Island, New York. We are discussing ministry in a post-COVID world, and you wanted to expand a little bit on ministry in the home.
Let me amen everything you've said about supporting Iron Sharpens Iron and about church membership, too. We count it a real privilege to be able to support this work. It's wonderful that there's a program that doesn't back off on dealing with what the Word of God says. I appreciate that, Chris, and I'm sensitive to time constraints here. We've got to realize, churches have to realize a couple things. What's happening is for the good of the Lord's people. We ought not be giving into the fear that's so common. The Lord is doing good, is doing and will continue to do good things from this. At the same time, pastors, elders need to realize there is going to be a massive rebuilding work that's going to have to be done once people can come back to worship. We should not think everything's going to be just like it was pre whenever they started putting in the home sheltering. Disciplines have broken down. The church is going to have to get much more serious about a related word, discipling, and making disciples of people and dollars. It's important when it comes to giving. I appreciate your emphasis on the tithe and priority of the local church, but those disciplines are broken down. Anyway, you mentioned the home. Yeah, I mean, the home is the basic unit of the church. The Lord told Abraham and you and your seed, all the families of the earth would be blessed. And it's interesting how COVID-19 has affected the home. It's fascinating. And when we realize home has such an important place in the economy of God, and the Lord has brought this tectonic shift that has made us focus on the home, pastors should be saying, hey, what should we learn from this? And just a few thoughts. It is fascinating to me that an establishment that has so looked down, in most cases, on homeschooling, has now been made by the sovereignty of God to do homeschooling. I can't get over that. As one who, we did homeschool our children. We've had Christian schools. Some of them have been in public high schools too. So it's not a statement about mode of schooling, but it's fascinating that we have this move toward education in the home. That is a tectonic shift. And here is where pastors should help parents think through what they're going to do with the education of their children in a post-COVID-19 world. Maybe they should, schools are going to close. There's no two ways about it. There's going to be a tectonic shift in schooling in the United States. And pastors should be working with families about co-ops or about homeschool co-ops or homeschooling in the home. How can teachers use their gifts? So we have a very dear sister in Christ finishing her master's degree in education, and she's wrestled with issues of working, put it this way, in the educational establishment or working in homes. I would think that that she's doing a lot more thinking now about the importance of working with the homes. And so that's one thing. And there, I've got to say another amen to your promoting World Magazine, all the different publications that they have, their podcast and so on. I would add to that in schooling, apropos of what I said about government overreach, however you do it, parents, have your children study the Constitution of the United States. The Romans 13, the powers that be are ordained of God, are not first, in our country anyway, they're not first the president or the vice president or the governor. They are the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. We're a constitutional republic. We're not a democracy. The French Revolution was a democracy. So these are things, when I say tectonic shifts in homeschooling, there's a big one. Let me mention couple others here, and then Chris, we can dilate a bit more on it or any questions. Home businesses. What a tectonic shift in the business world. Our economy has been challenged by this, and that's for good as well as along with the homeschool matter. Now, church leaders are not always the best business people, and they're not the best with money. I'd urge pastors, as we get through this COVID-19 thing and business people are getting their businesses up to speed, start talking with them. What have we learned from this? How can we help people doing more business from the home? That's going to affect the secular business world big time. And in my opinion, that's a huge plus. But help people in the churches know how to do this, where the home is the basic unit of the church. Home economics, in the standard sense of that word, what another tectonic shift. Stewardship in the home. Praise the Lord that we are being made to think more carefully about when we shop, how we shop, what we shop for, getting things we can get them. I got a kick out of it. Somebody sent me a thing the other day. It said, my whole view of, I'll use the more politically correct, bathroom tissue. How my whole view of bathroom tissue has changed. I used to treat it like a roulette wheel. Now I treat it like a safe cracker. But see, this is what happened in the Depression. And people.
By the way, I heard that there's somebody, an anonymous person, like Santa Claus, dropping off cases of toilet paper on people's front porches.
Oh my! Okay. All right. Well, in that case, thankfully there is a Santa Claus. But but those are things, debts. And here, when I say I'm mentioning home, but if the home is the basic unit of the church, pastors need to be working with the people. And when we say, well, you know, there's unbelievers in the home, work with them and evangelize them. Debt is such a huge issue. And there we can learn a lot. The children of this age are shrewder in their generation than the children of light. Learning, our daughter actually is linked up with a Mormon couple, and not for the religion clearly, but there are so many helpful principles about budgeting that she's used, that she's gotten more serious. Well, we should be on the ball, on the cutting edge, dealing with people, women's studies, women's service, and so forth. But elders, think through what this is doing to the culture, what it's doing to the home, and how we can help. And I've mentioned family worship, and I make a plea. Elders, think through for the remaining time that we're going to not be able to meet on Sundays, whether it's not wisest to be able to help heads of homes lead their own families in worship. That's part of piety in the scriptures, in church history, and it's something we need to have reimplanted in our own culture. I'd add, too, in pastoral work, too, that just dealing with young people about their calling in life. How do I use my gifts to be useful in a post-COVID-19 world? So it's going to take work, but the ministry's work. So let me stop blathering here, Chris. I do want to deal with the issue about domestic violence, but I don't know if you have other questions that have come in or what.
Yes, we do. And by the way, folks, please, as I keep repeating, people wonder why I have to keep repeating, please give me your name, your city and state of residence, your country of residence. So many people just send in a question without any of that. That's why I keep repeating it. So please, folks, when you're sending in a question, please include your city and state of residence and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, unless you're remaining anonymous for a good reason. Okay, we have Ruth from Flushing, Queens, New York. Now, I don't know what happened there where I don't remember you making this comment, because I usually listen very intentively to every word you're saying.
No.
But this listener says, would you please elaborate on what you meant by teaching people how to die?
Oh, yeah, she's referring to my comment that the work of the ministry is to prepare people for the life to come.
Ah, okay.
I think that's what she's getting at. Yeah, the COVID-19, whatever else it's done, it has made people acutely sensitive to their own mortality. And we've needed that in our culture that can be very cavalier when it comes to those things. You know, we're a culture where people don't, they'd rather go to a drive-in funeral service where you can press a button and see the casket come for 20 seconds and quote-unquote pay your respects and drive off. And so we're a culture that has particularly tried to be antiseptic when it comes to death. Well, you can't be that way in our culture now. What I was getting at is when the issue is raised, is the work of the ministry essential? It is, because you're preparing, you are preparing people to die. You're really preparing people for everlasting life. That's why I say your most important work in this life is to prepare for the life to come. And quite bluntly, you've got someone that you minister to. All pastors are familiar with this. They are afraid to die. A faithful pastor is going to say, outside of Christ, you should be afraid of dying.
Right? That's right.
Technical as you've died already, but you've got to get to the nitty-gritty with this. You should be afraid of dying outside of Christ, because there's a very real hell that can only be taken away for you by a substitute in Christ.
That's why I have a huge, huge problem with a lot of hospice care ministries or organizations, I should say, because many who are, and please don't get me wrong, there are wonderful people involved in hospice,
yeah,
but there are many hospice workers that their main goal is to remove the fear of death from the people, no matter what they believe or no matter what state in life they are.
Right. Yeah, and there's workers. Hospice care is a very important area for ministry. Christian ministers have often shown the most ministering to plague victims. In many cases, they died from that themselves, but they knew that they were to minister to the dying. And this, Chris, is, I think, it's a lesson. We all ministers need a kick in the pants about this. People who die outside of Christ are going to be in hell. And the only place for deliverance from hell is Jesus. And when people are petrified, they're on a ventilator, they're on a respirator, they're just in their homes, and it is essential to tell them. So that's what I'm getting at for Ruth. I think you said it is in Queens.
Yes, in fact, Ruth, send me your full mailing address, because you have won, by virtue of being a first-time questioner, you've won a free New American Standard Bible. Compliments of the publishers of the NASB and compliments of Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, who will be shipping it out to you at no charge to you or to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So send us your full mailing address. We have Maggie in Plano, Texas. She says, I help homeschool my grandson. I'd like to include studying the Constitution from a biblical worldview. I'm barely constitutionally literate myself. I try to rectify this, or I am trying, I should say, to rectify this. Is there a program or book you recommend? And she has one more question after that.
I can't think of one. We used material when we were homeschooling our children years ago. We used material from Christian Liberty Academy, which you might want to look into. They had some material. But here I'm going to refer your questioner to your previous speaker, a good friend of mine, Joe Moorcraft.
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
That's his field more than mine, and he could recommend some excellent resources. I know for myself, I've made it a practice every July 4th to read through again the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. That's kind of a basic thing that you do. But as far as a Christian school curriculum, I would defer to Dr. Moorcraft on that.
And he's going to be our guest, as I mentioned before, on Tuesday, May 5th. And we're giving away, again, free copies of his book, With Liberty and Justice for All, Christian Politics Made Simple, which has some reference to the Constitution. It's not an exhaustive commentary on it, but win the book by sending in a question, Maggie, if it's a good question, and if you're one of the first six people to send in a question. Her second point of concern, as she puts it, essential workers is a term used in Germany of the Jews. Some were essential, some were not. Do you have any concerns of this moving us toward socialism?
I hadn't thought about that particular area. That's interesting. I believe it's also used in China today. Well, it's really two questions. What is essential work? And I do have a concern that that has been ill-defined by states. I've been thankful that certain states, for example, Texas is one, I think Florida's another, where they very clearly said that ministerial work is essential work. In fact, even in my own circles in our presbytery, I want to make a point of that in the meeting this month, is we've got to be clear about that. The second thing is, am I concerned about socialism? That would take up a whole program, and the answer is yes. In my view, my personal opinion, I think that socialism is contrary to what the scriptures teach, and the reason I say that is pure socialism is, and I can say this having been part of a socialist slash communist group back
Yeah, I remember you telling me that you were a Marxist.
Yeah, when I was converted and I was thinking through a lot of things, the way I'm urging people to think through COVID-19, what struck me, again, the commandment, you shall not steal. Well, in socialism or communism, say what you want, it's stealing. It's taking an undue amount of the means of production or fruit of production from people to be owned by the state. And so I mean, it's not for the program today, but am I concerned? I definitely am concerned about this. When I hear our senator say the other day on the radio, I hope he retracts it, he wants a certain massive amount of money given to each healthcare worker, part of it basically extracted from businesses that have remained open during the COVID-19 virus. Sorry, that's socialism pure and simple, and it should scare us as another example of governmental overreach.
All right, I'm going to ask you one more question before the break, and you can answer it when we return from our final break. And this is someone who did not give us their location of residence, but Daisy, and if you're hearing me speak right now, Daisy, please send us your city and state and country of residence. Salvation is not by information virtual. Salvation is by incarnation. It is by God who doesn't just speak. He became man and dwelt with us, and we saw him. Salvation comes by incarnation or by way of the incarnation of our Lord and by the fullest meaning of that word, communication. Communication, in its historic meaning, does not simply mean to speak. If you want to say speak, you speak. Communication is the giving of a whole being to someone else, a whole thing, a whole entity to someone else. Hence, we have a communion service. Do you agree, and would you elaborate on how technology is warping this incarnational truth of our historic Christian faith and identity? And that was Daisy, and we'll have you answer that when we return. And folks, if you want to join Daisy with a question, do so immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. And once again, please give us your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence, unless you're remaining anonymous for a good reason.
That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We will be back after these messages with more of Bill Shishko on ministry in a post-COVID world.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to HopeReformedLI.net. That's HopeReformedLI.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of the ReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, you can also call in your order to cvbbs.com only between the hours of 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231. That's Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's the only time that line is manned and there is no voicemail. So remember to always mention that you heard about cvbbs.com from Chris Arnson and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with the final segment of our discussion with Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven in Deer Park, Long Island, New York. And we are addressing ministry in a post-COVID world. And Daisy finally got back to us with her city and state. It's Raleigh, North Carolina. And I wonder if you ever bumped into Andy Griffith or Barney Fife out there. I think that's where Barney used to take Thelma Lou out on hot dates. It was out in Raleigh, or perhaps even was Mount Pilot. But anyway, if you remember, Daisy is basically saying that this virtual worship stuff is eliminating the incarnational aspect of Christianity.
So that was Mount Airy, North Carolina, which was the pattern for the Andy Griffith Show, but that's right. For another day. Yeah, I'm going to punt on Daisy's question. Chris, you and I have already chatted about May 7th, when we'll be dealing with that, I hope I can get Dr. Gregory Reynolds. I haven't asked him yet, so if you get to him this way, it'll be a surprise. But he's retired, he's got time. But I'm hoping I get Dr. Gregory Reynolds to join me, and we just do a whole program on that. We've actually been asked to write something on it for the OPC publication New Horizons. And just in that regard, the website, opc.org, has a lot of valuable resources, and I believe the May issue of our denominational publication, New Horizons, is going to be dealing with a COVID-19 issue, so that might be something your listeners can do. I want to get to this question about the domestic violence and so on. I'm not being facetious. John 3:16 is not God so loved the world that he zoomed his only begotten son. he gave his son, and Christian ministry is the giving of whole cells to whole cells. So let me leave it like that.
In fact, Jesus even, you know, he touched lepers and so forth.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Right. Chris, could I do, this is on the ministry in a post-COVID-19 world, and the third thing I've said, and I'm going to mention resources because I don't have time to develop all of this, but I'm calling this getting down to the real world, ministering to heart issues, which I think is the kind of thing you do with Joe Jackowitz on Friday on your program.
Yes.
But this is the overall statement. The time, as a result of COVID-19, the time of using theological issues to buffer pastors from real human situations is done. Whatever else COVID-19, and I'm one who loves theology, and I'm reading a book on the covenant of grace that's thick and deep and it's fascinating. As a pastor, I have got to at least be able to distill that stuff into the lives of other people. And what's more, I've got to take Christ and bring him to people with their real heart issues. And COVID-19 has opened up, or is opening up, I should say, a lot of those issues. And here I would highly recommend the materials of the Christian Counseling and Educational Foundation. I cannot praise that organization and what it's done enough. There's a lot of good biblical counseling work out there. They're the one I'm most familiar with, and I see. But let me give you, your listeners, five areas in which, as a result of COVID-19, things have been exposed, and we must deal with them biblically and forthrightly. And I'll be this blunt. If ministers, pastors, elders, ministers, churches don't care to deal with this, they should die. Because the church is about ministry to real people in the real world. And there's the five areas I've got. Number one, as the caller James Brewer mentioned, is domestic violence, which is out there, and it has been exacerbated by isolation. It is a huge issue. The neglect of it has been called, rightly, the scandal of the evangelical church. I'm hoping, Chris, down the line we can do a whole program on that. The book I recommend of the many, Jennifer Michelle Greenberg's book that came out in August of 2019, Not Forsaken, Jennifer Michelle Greenberg, Not Forsaken. Read it so you get hit in the face with what domestic abuse does and with a lot of helpful advice about how to deal with it. That's one. Number two is addictions that have been exacerbated by the incubation of people in their homes. Not only pornography, the alcohol problems that are going to come as a result of this are huge. It's interesting. An essential business may not be the ministry, but at least in New York, it's a liquor store, okay?
Here in Pennsylvania, too.
In Pennsylvania, too. Addiction to television. And for that, Ed Welch's book, Dr. Welch, who's part of the CCEF, Addiction, A Banquet in the Grave. You talk about a book that merits careful study in churches, first by elders, then by the people. Very important. Number three, marriage problems. People are together, they find out they don't like one another. They're getting on one another's nerves. They wish they'd never gotten married. And those things are surfacing, and the church has an ideal opportunity that therapy cannot take, can't do, get to the root of those issues. On that, Paul David Tripp's book, of the many that are out there, Paul David Tripp's book, What Did You Expect?, is excellent for elders to be reading now to prepare for after the, whatever, we're through the isolation period. Number four, financial issues. And here, I don't listen to him a lot. I've read some of his stuff. I don't agree with all of it. I know he's a Christian, and I think that you've got to take the meat and spit out the bones. But Dave Ramsey has done a tremendous service in our culture, getting us to think sanely about the fact that the borrower becomes the lender's slave. And there's probably other things, but elders should be helping people with the funding issues and or financial issues. And Chris, as you mentioned, at this time, no, we're not paying the money for sports. We're not paying the money for eating out like we did. What are we going to do with the money? If we're not going to spend it and we can't spend it on the leisure cruise, what do we do with it? In my opinion, that's probably something that God, through all of this, wants us to really, really think about. Because, quite frankly, wealthy Americans have not always been particularly godly in the way they've thought about finances. And here's where diaconal ministry is really important, principles of giving and so on. Churches that say our deacons don't do anything, they're going to have a lot to do after we get through this COVID-19 thing. In that regard, the book When Helping Hurts by Brian Fickert and by Steve Corbett. When Helping Hurts, Brian Fickert, Steve Corbett. I would think most of these books are available through Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service because they're not junk. They're worthy to be sold. But that book will help you immensely knowing how you help the needy, how in helping the needy you can really do more harm than help. That's why the book is called When Helping Hurts. So finance is huge. People with debt right now. And hey, you can do 20 government stimulus packages, which is really borrowing money to give to people who've been borrowing money. It's not going to address the heart issues of why people are having problems with finances. And the last one I would mention is the elderly. I was just reading World Magazine, an article by Jamie Dean. Between 1990 and 2010, the divorce rate among adults over age 50 doubled. That means fewer older Americans have spouses to help with their care. About 2 million older adults without children and often have no natural caregiver to help them. And add to that the number of elderly people who, for various reasons, have become the parents of their own grandchildren because of children that, for various reasons, can't do it. When the scriptures say, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world, where the Lord is in his providence making us look at that and say this should be part of healthy church life. So those, there's probably others, but I think that pretty much hits the main ones, Chris.
Well, before I go to any listener questions, I want to make sure that you have 4 or 5 minutes to really instill upon our listeners what you most want etched in their hearts and minds before this program is over. During this time of anxiety, of stir craziness, of poverty, because people are losing their livelihood, don't we have to be reminded that God said, "Be still and know that I am God"?
Oh, Chris. Yeah, exactly. I think that's the text for our day. Be still and know that God is God. And keep in mind, don't end up on a negative with this. That psalm that speaks about the shaking of the earth also says there's a river that makes stream. The city of God that comes from heaven and through Christ and the gospel. But it ends up by saying, be still, and it ends up by saying, I will be exalted in all the earth, and he is going to be through this, to which we say, praise the Lord. I should, Chris, in that regard, it was a question that came up on the last program. Is this a judgment of God? And let me cite that great theologian, celebrity wrestler Hulk Hogan, who said, in 3 short months, just like God did with the plagues of Egypt, he has taken away everything we worship. God said, you want to worship athletes? I'll shut down the stadiums. You want to worship musicians? I'll shut down civic centers. You want to worship actors? I'll shut down theaters. You want to worship money? I'll shut down the economy and collapse the stock market. You don't want to go to church and worship me? I'll make it where you can't go to church. Skip the media
that's
for just a minute.
That's profound.
It is profound. But here's the thing, and yes, that, and that is all true. You get it at Revelation chapter 18. But 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17, if judgment's going to begin, let it begin with the house of God. And in Luke 13, Jesus has people coming to him basically saying, hey, these things that happened to the Galileans when the leader mixed their blood with his sacrifice, this is the judgment of God. Jesus says, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And I'm saying this to myself, first of all, as well as to all of my listeners. If we go through this, pointing our finger at the Democrats, at the Republicans, at the socialists, at the capitalists, or whatever, we've missed the point. Examine ourselves, brothers and sisters. And what I've said in this program is a lot of my own self-examination as a minister. And if ministers have been lazy about their labors, they're trying to substitute the virtual for the real, and they're still trying to cocoon themselves in their theology, they better start repenting and get dealing with people, because our work is in Christ to save the lost, and you got to get out and be with them. And the other thing I'd say, Chris, is I would say with that, getting out, let's begin with our neighborhoods. We've also learned a lot about just getting to know our neighbors. But I urge all of you, the pastors, elders, deacons, all of you listening, think through now what you're going to do when we're in whatever a post-COVID-19 world is going to be. We're not going to return to a pre-COVID-19 world. There is a certain social evolution and growth. We call it church history. And we've got to see what God is doing. Don't go back to your sermon series on Leviticus when you get back to worship. Take some time to show you have listened to what God is doing in his providence in this time, under the authority of the Word of God, and preach on ministry in a post-COVID world. Let's use our Sunday school classes, when we can get them again, to equip saints for the works of service. Here's the reason. This is going to happen. there is going to be a tsunami of needs out there, everything from people scared to death because they know they're going to die, to people ready to slit one another's throats because they don't like living together. And as ministers, that is low-hanging fruit. Pick it and work with it for the purpose of the furtherance of the gospel.
Well, thank you so much. That was a great way to conclude the program today. And sorry we don't have any more time for listener questions, but Pastor Bill has assured me he wants to return very soon. We just haven't picked the exact date yet. And remember, folks, the website for The Haven in Deer Park, Long Island, New York, the congregation where Pastor Bill serves as the under-shepherd, thehavenli.com, thehavenli.com, and also don't forget opc.org, the main website for the denomination Orthodox Presbyterian Church, opc.org. And by the way, Ruth, in Raleigh, North Carolina, give me your full mailing address so that you could also receive a free New American Standard Bible since you are a first-time questioner. Thank you, Bill. Look forward to your return to the show. And I want to thank everybody who listened today. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives, Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.